to hunger. You know, I love it when our Father teaches us a subject, and it has to do with both the spiritual body and the physical body. You know, a person should hunger to know, why am I here? Why did God create this world the way it is? And what is it we're supposed to do? And if you hunger for that knowledge, the Word just opens up for you, and there it is. The fact that He had a people in the first earth age, and Satan deceived a bunch of them. But there were a few that he could not touch, and they're called today God's elect. And it's fantastic when you hunger for that truth until you dig it out, and that truth lights upon you, and you know how wonderful our Father is. So in utilizing the hunger from the tummy, oh, hey, it can get real bad. I had a stretch one time when I went 4 or 5 days without food. I can't remember for sure just which it was because of a dumb mistake I made as a kid and too proud to go home and ask for money. I had a paycheck coming on Friday, and I went to a movie. I was a farm boy, and they had 4 theaters in that town, and I thought, this is wonderful. Heaven on earth. And my wallet scooted out of my pocket, and it had my food money for the rest of the week. And I don't know why I'm telling this today, but I know what hunger is like. You know, you dream about food. And my parents, my mother was only about 6 miles from there, but I was too proud to go home and say, Mama, I'm hungry. So, because of my dumb mistake, you know, Irishmen are stubborn that way, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, your body can cry out to you, feed me. I need it bad, you know. Or you can be driven, absolutely driven, to find truth, to understand a thing. That curiosity that God instills in a human being that causes growth and understanding and love. Open your Bibles, if you would. Let's begin in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28. You'll remember, our Father is a jealous Father. He's the nearest relative you've got. And when you start hanking around somewhere else, trying to find truth, you know, from some other religion or some false prophets that twist the Word up rather than teaching it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, he gets jealous. He doesn't like it, and I guarantee you he's going to come down on you. And so he was in this 28th chapter. This is where God brought certain curses on people if, there's that big old word, if you did not meet his conditions. And we're going, so that you'll understand what I'm talking about, go to the 14th verse. This is not why I came here, but in this 28th chapter. And this reminds me a lot of today. He says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, you have to be very careful. We live in a country where political correctness and the respect of all religions and everything, fair enough, all right? But don't let that come into your beliefs, all right? It does not mean you're to force your belief off on somebody else, but don't you put up with somebody trying to force their religion off on you or to change your method of worship. That doesn't fly, and that isn't required by our Constitution, okay? Keep clean with Almighty God and study the Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Listen to your Father, and you won't go wrong, okay? Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. I'd say we've got some problems in the cities. We've even got some problems in the field. Cursed shalt thou be. Cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. It's going to take a lot of money to fill that old grocery basket up compared to what it used to. This is why that you always use common sense, okay? And God will see to it that your basket is just fine. Well, does that change the price for me or anybody else? Well, shop, okay? And shop wisely. It does help. But that is not the underlying. God blesses you whereby you don't have to worry about it anyway if you obey Him first, all right? And but what I really wanted to come here for was in verse 46, okay? I want you to know why. Why sometimes He will cause us to hunger when He promised us everything. Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. That's to say, anyone that would pursue other people's teachings, and so that is to say other religions and so forth. 47, because, this is the reason, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. That's important. And with gladness of heart, for, listen carefully, for the abundance of all things. When you serve Him joyfully, He's going to add on to you anything you need. That's just the way, that's the way the cookie crumbles. And a lot of people will say, well, I don't believe that. I do. I know it for a fact. That if you follow God's Word, this little old ministry 18 years ago had about 120 people. Today it has millions. Right? What caused that? God did. Why? We obey Him and teach His word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Therefore, the word this way in this family touches millions of lives. And it changes lives. And I thank God for that. That people love that truth and they love the abundance of things. You're not hungry when you're in the abundance of things, and that's what God promises. But I assure you, you've got to do it His way by following your gifts as He gives them to you and to enjoy the freedoms that He has given us in this great nation and the world in serving Him. That being the reason, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, it is a pleasure serving Him. Why? Because it brings forth blessings. Remember in the New Testament where it said, what about the flowers, you know, they are dressed better than Solomon was with all of his riches? You know, and God's the one that dresses them, and it doesn't cost them anything. And he said, it has to do with that chapter. It says, worrying won't add 1 second to your life. You're wasting your time worrying. Get out there and do something about it. Okay? And then he says, God knows what you have need of. Do His bidding, and then He will bless you. He always pays you after you work for Him. That's the way it goes. After you faith Him, that is to say, place your faith in Him, He's going to bless you. You can count on it. Well, how can you say that? It's His promise, and He keeps His word. The point is, we have to discipline ourselves where we keep our word, okay? And our Father loves people that love serving Him. Verse 48, therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger? Oh, there it is. And in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. Well, that sounds like God is not being fair, doesn't it? No, He's being totally fair. He tells you quite frankly how easy it is to serve Him where the abundance is. You either turn your back on the abundance and get hungry, or you stay joyful with Him, obeying Him as best you can. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes at times. And that's why you repent and back up and get started again. So it's pleasing to Him, and you're joyful in serving Him. That makes the big difference. This is why, do you think that people don't keep, that the heavens don't keep up with what you do? When you plant a seed, and it changes a life, even the angels in heaven rejoice. That's awesome. That's awesome, really awesome. And I don't care if you're way back here in the hills or somewhere else, wherever you plant that seed of truth, helping someone, it will make a difference. And it happies our Heavenly Father. Now, what about this nation that He would bring on us? Well, of course, it's that nation. What chapter is it? Amos chapter 8, along about verse 14, where He says, I will bring the Kenites, which is Hemoth, upon you from the inner end of the wilderness. And there comes in usury. That'll make you hungry, friend. You get too much usury checked out against your name, and you'll be hungry all right. That's why you want to stay away from it as much as you can, you know. Always, you know, it's real easy to make payments to yourself rather than somebody else. Well, but I might want a new car. Well, hey, do you know what the best car in the world is? It's one that's paid for, okay? And you know, kind of it may get a little old, but it has character, okay? It's got that character at the first of the month that says, just get in and press the pedal to the metal. Maybe not that, but I'm paid for, all right? I mean, it's good. And there's nothing wrong for young people borrowing money to make money. Always know what you're doing. But that's what will rob you. Honest to goodness. That nation that moved in, the Kenites, that will design usury, and when you allow yourself to get involved in it, why not pay yourself? And then, you know, you might say, well, Mama needs a new washing machine. Well, until, you know, why not wait until you can pay $300 cash and get a brand new one? But you go down there and pay $20 down and only $60 payments for 6 years. That gets to be a pretty expensive little piece of equipment, okay? So get some baling wire. Keep Mama happy now. Don't let the thing just sit there. Lay hands on it, shake it, push it, you know, and fix it. And get it going until we can get our three, and then just keep making those payments and go down. This is supposed to be on hunger, not usury. So I hope everybody, I know none of you need that, so I don't even know why I'm headed in that direction. But that's what that nation is that will cause hunger if you allow it. You've got to be wiser than the serpent. If you can, you know something? My old granddad lived to be 92. He never drew one day's Social Security. He never borrowed money from anybody. And he still left all of us kids, I think mine was $80. You know, but isn't that something that he lived, and he was over here in Oklahoma, and he was a trader. Okay, he was a horse and mule buyer for the Ross brothers out of Fort Worth, Texas for several years, so you know I'm dating this now. And I used to break every one of those mules when he'd buy them and put them down in the barn. He raised me. I'd get the old feed wagon and slip off on them bareback, and here we'd go. Here we'd go. Made a pretty good cowboy out of me for several years. Anyway, if you can't afford it, you don't need it. Okay, till you can take up some slack. Don't get caught up in usury. All right, it will make your family hungry for years. So, Just be real careful with that. Plan ahead. And if you're in it, get out. Okay? Take it one day at a time, and you can get out of it. Okay. I want to drop back in case I might have digressed. In verse 47, it says, with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. In other words, when you serve Him, you're going to have that abundance because you're going to listen to the Word. You're going to stay out of usury. You're going to use good judgment. And you're going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, if there's somebody who won't eat, throw them out. Okay? Everybody work. So it just kind of keeps things going. God's Word does, okay? That doesn't mean be cruel, and if anybody's handicapped, hey, we take care of those that need help. But I'm talking about lazy people, okay? God wants you to go by His Word, and you'll do fine, all right? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. New Testament. In other words, there is no reason for pulling away of the abundance of God's blessings to find hunger for your family or your flesh. And at the same time, hard luck can fall on anybody. It happens. That's common. But don't stay that way. You'll come out of it. Everything will never let them see you sweat on your first cruise. Be wiser than the serpent. You'll come out of it. Chapter 5, verse 6. These are the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what you want to thirst after. That's what you want to be hungry for. What's righteousness? That is right. Doing what's right. That brings God's blessings on your family. It brings success. It brings prosperity. For they shall be filled, even flooded, if you like. God owns everything. And if you're serving Him and you love Him and He loves you, He's going to flood you with what you need. He knows what we don't need also. You understand? Sometimes we get a little carried away. I'm pretty bad about that when it comes to my hobbies, you know. And you have to keep things in perspective. I used to have the hardest time persuading Anna that my airplane's new radio I needed was more important than her washing machine. That's a tough trip, friend. That's a tough sale, okay? But anyway, use good judgment and don't get carried away with stuff, okay? Hunger for righteousness. Number one, that's to do what's right, okay? Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You show me a person that prays or leads in prayer, and if that person says, oh God, I want this. Oh God, I need that. Oh God, I have been suffering lately. Oh God, I just want to know everything. And then you turn around and you'll hear someone else say, Father, give me the knowledge to help the poor. Give me some knowledge to help my family. Give me some knowledge that will help me change my community, bring some stability. And I'll show you a child that God will listen to. Compassion is a sign of one of God's elect. You show me somebody that has no compassion, and I'll show you somebody that is not one of God's elect. You see, God's elect were sent to this world because of our brothers and sisters that need help, that are lost, totally lost. And I'm going to tell you what, they'll kick you in the shins, they'll skin you up real good every once in a while. But don't lose patience. They're still worth saving. All right. They're still worth going after. So just be patient and remember that. Compassion is one of the signs that I always can tell immediately, or not immediately, but sooner or later, if someone is truly one of God's elect. And that's not judging. It's just a mark. Is that merciful compassion that is in the family that wants to improve the lot for everyone. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, that's to say mind, for they shall see God. What does that mean? It means pure in mind means, well, I kind of said it a while ago, one that prays for help to help others. You're going to see God. Do you know why? Because he's going to help you do that. It amazes me. They come out with this. They'll say, a lot of people have made big bucks off of the prayer of Jabez. All right, like that's some, like Jabez was something special. He was special only that his prayer was for others, not himself. Okay? Jabez was no more than you are. It's what you pray for. You pray right and you will see God. Why? Because he's going to answer you in one way or the other. And you need to be attuned to that. So, people will read that, they'll say, boy, I just claim that prayer of Jabez. It won't do you any good if you're not the one making the prayer for yourself. God doesn't like written prayers, all right? Why? You're his child. He wants to hear from you. When you talk to him, he wants it to be from your heart and your mind, not some written out long thing. Oh, dear God, I be a merciful saint of the Most High. Lord, I'm a sinner. I fall short occasionally, and I know you get aggravated at me. Forgive me, but help me get it done. All right? Be honest with him. That's what I'm saying. All right? I just threw a little country in to make it slide, okay? Because that's the way I talk to him. Right? That's real prayer, is being of a pure mind, and you will see God. Why? He's going to be knocking on your door, not literally, and he speaks in many ways. Be ready for it. Okay. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers in what way? He's sure not going to bless some peacemaker with the devil. Do you understand what? You know, Christians have a way, they're bleeding hearts. You know, oh, I got to be a peacemaker and bring peace to the whole world. You can't bring peace to Satan. He's already sentenced to die by Almighty God, and he's, look what he's doing to your brothers and sisters. And you want to make peace with him? You're a peacemaker if you do. The controversy in the war is between God and Satan. So a peacemaker is one that makes peace in a righteous sense and in a righteous way. Let me tell you something. You can't make peace with a snake unless you're a snake charmer. All right? And that's a different profession altogether than a peacemaker spoken of here. There is probably the kindest, most wonderful people in this world are people that make a stand for their family and their country and first of all, Almighty God. Taking the word for what it is, loving it, and trying to fit your life into it as best you can, whereby you're pleasing to Almighty God. Okay? Now, blessed, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have people that are going to bump you around pretty good every once in a while. Don't worry about it. God takes care of things, all right? He takes care of business. And bear in mind, I said what the word said. It didn't say persecuted for getting drunk last night. It didn't say that. It said persecuted for righteousness in my name's sake. In other words, when you're doing his work. 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I'm going to tell you something. When you teach this word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, study as best you can handle or muster with the Greek and the Hebrew, there are people going to come against you. You can count on it. They did for back in Christ's days when he walked the earth, and they will yet today. Don't let it shake you up. God is the equalizer. He'll take care of business, okay? 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. They caught it. Some of them got strung up, beaten, you name it. And some of them stuck in mud in a well for days up to their neck in mud. Well, that was Jeremiah, wasn't it? And they had it pretty tough. But you've got it made. Our Father is going to see to it that you're blessed. He takes care of business. You cannot go wrong with him. And it may seem like it's getting salty at times, but you know something? God knows you can cut it. God knows you can handle whatever he sends your way. That you're tough. Well, I don't know if I'm that tough or not. I do. I know you're tough. I've read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, nothing's going to happen to you that isn't common to everybody. And God's never going to place more on you than you can cut or handle. And he is always going to show you a way out, meaning you're going to think and you're going to play, and he's going to visit you, and you're going to find that way out. You're going to overcome. That's the way God's elect are, can-do type people. And you can rejoice in that, because you turn it over to him when you've done all you can do. He takes care of business. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor or flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. What does that mean? You're supposed to make a difference. When you walk into a room, I know you've all heard me say this a lot of times. You've got a glass of what? Let's say tomato juice, okay? And I was trying to think of something you put salt in, okay? I started to say lemonade. That won't work, will it? Anyway, you got a glass of tomato juice, and if you have sinus problems or something's coming on, that's what you want to get. Get your motor going with V8, okay? That'll clear out your sinuses and make you feel like a new person. But when you salt that, what happens? It gets saltier. That's what's supposed to happen when you walk into a room. It gets saltier. Meaning, not, well, maybe on this hand, you know, if you look at it this way. But then this dear brother over here, if we look at it his way, what does God say? Let it be said. God said it, that's it. Okay? That's salt. And it does make a difference. Instead of you wandering around out in boom boom land trying to even get a handle on something, yes or no. God said it, that's it. No more need be said. Okay? That's what he's saying. I want you to be salty. And if you've lost your saltiness, all you're good for is to be thrown out on the street. Well, brother, you don't understand. I didn't want to rock their boat. I just wanted to be a pacifist. I just wanted to get along. You can't get along that way. The enemy will eat you alive piece by piece until there's nothing left. It reminds me of what we've got ourselves into now. You have these pacifists saying, well, let's just give them a little more time. Good heavenly days, they've had 12 years, you know. And here's what you do. You say, well, the inspectors are doing great. Oh, are they? Where were the inspectors when the last suicide bombers were paid off and a new house was built for them? where were the inspectors when the two son-in-laws went back to Papa? And Papa had an immediate divorce from his daughters and shot both of them. You know, that's real, you know, inspectorified. Now, what happened when we had two embassies that were blowing to smithereens? Well, we should just smile and take it. Oh, I don't think so. That's not what the Bible says about it. When we have it send a ship to sea with our flag on it, that's our property representing our nation. And what happened was pacifism. Here comes a little bitty boat that salutes and kills 18 of our young Americans, or 17, I forget which. And you want to get along with somebody like that, you know? How about the Twin Towers, 3,000, gone? That was their second try. How many tries you want to give them? Oh, well, let's just be patient. Be salty instead, okay? Serve God. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a high hill cannot be hid. What is the light? Don't get the big head, okay? You only reflect the true light, and that true light is Christ, who is teaching us. And when you reflect, the word in the Greek is phos, okay? You know what phosphorus looks like at night? It shows off of light. It makes a light, okay? Well, when Christ blesses your life, it shines forth in you. One more verse here. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. If God gives you a truth, don't sit on it. He gives you that truth from Christ as part of the light. Share it. But it's mine. It's a truth God gave me off of my little old self. No, he doesn't give anything that way unless it's a personal dream or something like that. If he gives you a truth from the Word, you're supposed to share it. Okay? And that reflects that light and makes it very obvious why he came to the world to bring the Word to help lives, not to have his truth or words of encouragement placed under some bushel basket. Luke chapter 6. This is basically just a little profile look at the Beatitudes we were talking about a little bit earlier. Chapter 6, verse 21, the great book of Luke. Blessed are ye that hunger now. That means now that you hunger in this world that is miserable for a lot of people, that you hunger for searching out God's truth. For you shall be filled. Not maybe, not perhaps. You shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. It's pretty difficult not to weep when you see our people duped and deceived in this world today. Sometimes even in your own families. People that just cannot seem to see the truth. That's a very painful thing. 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. It will happen, but that doesn't happen all that often unless you begin teaching, and then there will be people that will forbid people to study with you even. You know, I've never quite understood how a pastor of a church felt he had the authority to tell one of his members, you can't study with so-and-so. It might be all right to say, that's going to confuse you if the person asks for advice or something, but you're free. You're not in bondage to anyone but Christ. And you have to make your own mind up. If you were attending a church that did not insist that you think for yourself, you do your own thinking, don't let any man do your thinking for you, because you're the one that's going to have to answer to God someday, okay? So, therefore, you listen to the Father, and it's okay to listen to man or woman, but check them out in God's Word, all right? But there is persecution in the world, so don't get all shook up if you go, "I'm just being a sweet Christian, and they don't like me." They don't like Christians in a lot of places anymore, haven't you noticed? Okay? It's that way. "Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Same old thing. "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." That means rich with ill-gotten gains, not the blessings of God. Don't you ever, ever apologize for wealth that is given because you serve God. Okay? That's God's blessings. It's those that are rich with ill-gotten good gains that are in trouble. 25, "Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger." Meaning that are full of the world and not God's Word, okay? "Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." That's to say, laugh in the ways of the world. "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." False prophets, well, one of their first lines is, "But you certainly seem like an intelligent person to me." And most people will just buck right up and say, "Boy, this person's a good judge of character." Yeah, he knows. Yep. Knows I've got it. That's Satan's doings, okay? Don't let him set you up. That's the way he does it. We're going to end this with the prodigal son. Okay? He was hungry. He was a boy that in God's bidding, he had it made. But he gets this young and foolish, and he wants his part of the movable goods. And let's see, that's going to be in chapter 15 of Luke. He wanted his part of the inheritance in movable goods. That doesn't mean of property or the main inheritance. It just means simply what we would call today liquidity, okay? And he took the liquidity, that's kind of like cash, okay? And he goes off to town. First thing he meets is a group of harlots, and he gains a lot of friends in a hurry because he's got money, liquidity, okay? And pretty soon his bucket got a hole in it, and it is all gone, okay? Because of misjudgment, all right? And he's out, he finally gets a job feeding hogs. I mean, that's all he can come up with. And you know something? They didn't even pay him to feed the hogs. All he could do was eat the husk off of the same things that the hogs had to eat, okay? And the husk that the swine didn't eat. I mean, he's a hungered. Do you know what he did? He had it made. He was, what I want to show you and why I'm coming here is we could paint God a pretty mean picture here from this in a way, like he just shuts them off and shuts them away and bam, that's it, destroys them. I want you to see his love in this, of when someone gets hungry and then turns back to him. How God quickly runs to them, embraces them, and loves them, and brings them home. So the old boy, he's already went through his liquidity, his money, and let's pick it up in the 17th verse where he begins to get a little common sense again. "And when he came to himself," this is Luke chapter 15, verse 17, "when he came to himself," he said, "how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Now remember, This is relating to our Heavenly Father. He's got bread enough for everybody. He's got enough blessings that He can just fill you up totally. Okay, so you want to relate this in that way. 18. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I disobeyed you. 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired hands. Now, in a way, you can see this, that when someone is repentant and they come back to the Father. Now, you've done, maybe you all haven't, I don't know, but some people do stuff that's bad enough that they just are kind of ashamed to face God again. And they say, Lord, just love me. Don't, I'm not worthy. I'm not. And really, in a sense, none of us are in some respects. But God doesn't do business that way. When you repent and He erases all your sins, what's written in the book of life? Nothing. Nothing bad about you. Okay? Verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Father already knew he had repented, that he had got some common sense about him, that he was lost and that he was coming home. This should let you know that when a sinner is saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. When you plant a seed and it makes a difference in a life, They rejoice in heaven. It's gladness. It's happiness. Father, yes, if you fall away from His word, He'll bring those cursings on you. But just as quick as you turn back and repent, He will run to meet you. He will hold His arms out. You're going to see Him. He's going to embrace you and love you and let you know all is well. All is well. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now that's shucking it right down. He's taking a low seat, all right? But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Let's get that boy. You know, I mean, imagine, you might say, well, why would he do that? Well, he's been in the hog pen. Been living there with them. Looking bad. Okay. Probably smelling bad. Okay. And you know, naturally, what is a ring? It's a signet. It brings back authority. Okay. That's what you sealed or signed an order with. Okay. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Beloved, listen to me. When you plant a seed and wake somebody up to the truth, and they begin to see that truth, then it is a thing to rejoice about. They were lost. That's why you're here. And is in part to, as a group, we touch people like that. Hundreds of them every day, and I thank our Father for that. 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. This kind of answers verse 2, where the scribes and Pharisees murmured because he was eating with sinners. Well, that's what he came to the world for, okay? And don't you ever be one of these. I don't mean for you to be foolish and go somewhere where it's dangerous, but I don't want to talk to them. They are sinners just as sure as the world is here. I don't want to be around them. After all, I'd be a Christian. Yeah. Well, you're not a Christian if that's your attitude, okay? Sin is repulsive, but at the same time, we're sent to help them utilizing common sense, and there's a time and a place for everything. A place of when it's a time for safety. All right, never go into danger. God wouldn't expect you to do that necessarily. 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Here's this old boy. He kept his liquidity. He didn't run off. He didn't know any harlots. I mean, he'd been working for Daddy all this time. His father just, plowing out in that hot sun, 27. And he said to him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." 28. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Father knows this is everything. Now, this has the old thing to do with the first worker in the garden and the other, and they all got paid the same. Okay? You see, this older son was God's elect that first came into truth in the first earth age. And God chose him to come here and help sinners to establish that that would solidify the family whereby it could reach out, where it could make a difference in lives. And he kept that up, faithful to it, okay? 29, and he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." I mean, all I've been doing is hitting it out here. "But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Now, if you didn't understand, that would kind of shake you up, would it not? But see, you could erase that word. It had to do with harlots, because he repented several verses back, and it's erased out of the book in the Father's hand, just like your sins are when you repent. It's erased. You're not going to have to answer to them on Judgment Day. They're gone, and God doesn't want to hear about them anymore. Okay? So he is with this son. Okay? Verse 31. And he said also, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Think about that. Think about Ezekiel 44, where he says concerning the Zadok, which is a Hebrew word that means election, the just. What did he say? They're plotting out land to give to the children of Israel, to the children that serve God. And he said, hey, don't give them anything. Don't give God, the Zadok, or the elect, anything. And that's this elder son. You know why? God said, because I am their inheritance. And he owns everything, wherever you step. But it's not something you will utilize to the contrary or take advantage of. But use it wisely and with salt. Verse 32 to complete. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So, it's easy to get a little jealous sometimes when you see God blessing one that has repented. Don't be that way, okay? Always be happy for one. Rejoice. Because you cannot imagine, as it is written in Ezekiel 44 and as well as other places, how wonderful it's going to be for God's elect at that time. Hungry? Yeah, this old boy was starving to death. He was out feeding them hogs, and he had probably, with hogs signifying the lowest carnal flesh on earth, it signifies his place. I mean, he couldn't go any lower. And that's what man can do on his own. But the moment he placed his eyes back on Father, Almighty God, and began to get some common sense about himself, it is not that God wishes to harm someone when he tries to get their attention and corrects them, to edit them. Think of the Father as he portrayed himself in this parable of the prodigal son. He couldn't even wait until the boy got home. He ran out and grabbed him because he was so happy that he had finally come to his senses and in this earth age found salvation. It's precious. Hungry, He wasn't really hungry for food as much as he was hungry for the love of his Father. And that's the way you want to be. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. We thank you, Father, for the teachings that you give to hunger. And may we know that you supply that wholesome food, Father, that is called the Word of God, to amply feed our souls, that we can be a blessing to all those we come in contact. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Self.